The 148th Psalm, that's two psalms from the very last end of the book of Psalms. And we'll read the entire psalm there for our consideration this evening. You'll pick up the theme rather quickly here in Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him all His angels. Praise Him all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes, all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together, saints. Father, we praise Your name this evening, Lord. As You tell us to, Father, we do praise You. Father, I pray that our lives would be demonstrations, Lord, of sincere praise, sincere faith, not just something we do by habit, not just something we do by some obligation, Lord. Help us to recognize the opportunity and the privilege that we have, Father, to lift up the name of the one and only, all-powerful, all-loving, and true God. Help us, Lord, to live a life of praise. You deserve it, Father. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a firm believer that you cannot teach, preach, state, praise too much. You can't praise Him enough, so I don't believe, as the Lord gives liberty and the Lord gives direction, that I could over-preach the need for true and sincere praise for and from God's people. Oftentimes, when we're praying, we have an individual who's leading out. Oftentimes, myself and others will find difficulty coming up with the words to praise Him sufficiently, to cry out sufficient praise. You can't praise Him enough. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. Lover of my soul. He's all of those things. You can't praise that enough. All of those things and more, we know that He is. You can't praise Him enough. Just the word praise is found in the Old Testament over 150 times. Well, actually, I believe that's just in the book of Psalms over 150 times. That's right. Depending on the translation that you look at. Over 150 times, and that's more than half of the uses of that term in the Bible. Praise found in this book. It's a praise book. Psalm 148 is a particularly praisey psalm, as those last several are in that book. I titled this lesson, Praise from Top to Bottom to Top. And I'll tell you why. We're going to look at kind of a praise, not a pyramid, but kind of almost a hierarchy, kind of, just based on this psalm that we're reading tonight. Just a real quick, just a brief consideration tonight of this praise lineage. We're going to start at the top, as the author of that psalm has for us. Just identifying those ones who are called to praise. Look at the top of this psalm. Well, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. So certainly He's at the very top. But then it goes on to say, praise the Lord from the heavens, in the heights, all His angels, all His hosts or His armies or those collective strengths, all the sun and moon, the stars of light, heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. From the outset, He's talking about things up high, things celestial, things heavenly. We see where they're from. a heavenly location. We see what they are, those heavens, the heights, his angels, hosts, sun and moon, stars of lights, and we see that it's in a top-down kind of manner. Those things that are in the abode of God. That's where it begins in this psalm, those celestial bodies. And then that firmament we call that air between, well, the earth and the sky. He calls for them to praise, and here's why. In verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. It's as simple as that. He said it, and there they were. Poof. You've read the first couple chapters of Genesis where creation happens. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He created the firmament, separated things, created the plants. He created all those things. He said it, and there they were. And just based on that qualification alone, they're given to praise him. And they do. But we're talking about these celestial things particularly to begin with. He made them, and particularly because those that have eyes, and I'm pointing to those angels and the hosts, they see him. They're able to look at him. They have an audience with him. They certainly should praise him. The sun and the moon in their glory, the stars in their glory, the sky in its glory, all those things cry out to the very existence of God. But then it moves down to another tier after that in verse 7. If you start there, it says, praise the Lord from the earth after those celestial bodies and those heavenly ones. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts, all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. These earthly entities, these ones that are lower than the celestial bodies, lower than the heavenly things. And you can see that some of them are living, some of them are animate, and some are not. You see the sea creatures, you see the depths. The depths themselves are not alive. Fire, hail, snow, and clouds, those aren't living. You see breathing things, you see lifeless things. We know, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, but those things that don't have breath, still, because the Lord commanded and he created them, they cry out to his existence and they praise him in doing what they do as he set them to do it. Certainly not by any real awareness of their own, but God created them. They're set into motion and they do what they're to do because he commanded and they were created. And then finally, we move down further, not just those terrestrial things, but us. We're listed there at the end. In verse 11, it says, kings, kings of the earth, not just the kings, but all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. And that covers all of us in here. Kings, all people, young people, old people, male, female, all of us. We're listed kind of at the bottom of things. After everything else. And I think that that's partly because we're not entirely earthly. We're seated in heavenly places with the Lord even now. But we're not entirely heavenly either, as we still live in this flesh. So we're kind of these tweener things. Regardless, like all those other created things, whether they're lifeless or living, terrestrial or celestial, earthly and heavenly, we're called to praise him. And we're created to do so. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or living or non-living, whatever it might be, by his command, all things were created through him and for him. So you could just lump us right in there with all of those other things, with the creatures of the deep, with the clouds, with well, the angels and the hosts of heaven. We're no better than any of these things, right? We're lumped right in and even at the very bottom of the whole list. Well, I think that you know that that's not entirely true, that we're not a little bit different, separated and set apart. There's a movie back in the 80s that I watched once or twice, and it was set, I believe it was either Australia or some part of the desert in Africa, and a pilot, just a small pilot, threw a Coke bottle out of the plane. And someone who had never seen this before, in his tribe, he'd never seen a Coke bottle before, and he picked it up, and he went on, he took it back to his village, And he shared the Coke bottle with everyone. He'd never seen anything. It was something beyond him, just a simple glass Coke bottle. And the people of the village used it for different things, rolling grain, crushing the grain, rolling it out into flour and that sort of thing. It was kind of a comedic movie is how it was supposed to play out. But they used it to pound out bread, and they used it to pound out different things, and they found that it was okay to be used for a couple of different uses, not at all what it was intended for, as a simple Coke bottle. And ultimately, a couple kids got into a fight over the bottle because they wanted to use it, and one smacked them over the smacked them over the head with it. So the original man who found it set off, and the whole plot of the movie was him trying to return this bottle from whence it came. Now, it's a cute story, but the point was that they had no idea what that item was. They had no idea what it was for. They had no idea what its purpose was. They saw it and they had to figure out what it was. It had some designs on it and it had a certain shape, and let's try it out for these different things. And they had no idea that it was designed to say Coca-Cola on it, to advertise Coca-Cola. It was clear because it was designed to show the Coca-Cola that was inside of it. I'm giving a lot of free plugs for Coca-Cola. They didn't know that it was designed to serve and pour out Coca-Cola. They didn't realize that it was designed to contain Coca-Cola, and any other use that came from that bottle that they tried to use was just superfluous. It was just extra. And it wasn't necessarily very good at any of those things. It passed, but it was designed to hold that sparkly, delicious, sweet, terribly bad for you beverage, Coca-Cola. Our praise may not be as impressive as the sun. Well, it doesn't move in the sky around us. We, of course, are spinning and going around it and all that. But as the sun's moving across the sky, consider the first time you might have ever seen that with any kind of comprehension and understanding. Say you'd never seen the sun before. You were blind, perhaps, and you were given sight and you see the sun, this big ball of fire that goes across and lights up everything around. You know, our praise isn't as impressive as some of the things that you can see naturally speaking. I'm dumbfounded by how amazing and how wild and how impressive Yellowstone is. I've never been there. I want to go there. Parts that haven't even been explored, and you see them, you're like, it's impressive to me. And it cries out to the creation power, to the presence of the Lord God. My praise might not be as impressive as that. Your praise might not be as impressive as those mountains we see out west, all the moon and the stars and all of those things. But ours is the praise that he loves, saints. Ours is the praise that he wants to hear. I've preached many times those rocks, those stones, when they were crying out Hosanna, and the Pharisee said, quiet them down. And he says, if they don't praise, the very rocks are going to open up. Ours is the praise that he loves. So he gave us something extra that whales don't have and that mountains don't have and that sort of thing. Verse 13 of our passage says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him, praise the Lord. He has exalted the horn of his people, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel. He is the praise of a people who are near to him. All of creation is created to suggest God in their praise, to demonstrate God in his glory. We were created to retain God, to retain the glory of the Lord, to contain even the presence of God. We're made in his image. We're given a perfect shape. Coke bottle has a specific shape, doesn't it? I meant to look up what that shape was all about. I think it's just for the grip, and it just became iconic. But we were given a perfect shape, crafted to retain and contain and hold the Christ, to say and to show, to advertise him with our praise and worship, and certainly to serve him and pour him out. We're given new life through that exalted horn. In Luke 1, verse 68. These are Zacharias' words, the father of John the Baptizer. He's talking about Jesus, who was soon to be born shortly thereafter. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. We have new life by that horn, and we are made specially qualified to praise him. In Isaiah 39, verse 18, this is King Hezekiah after he was healed. He says, Sheol cannot thank you, he says to the Lord. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. But the living man, and specifically in the terminology that we understand, the new man, the new life that we have, the creation, the new creation within us, the new man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me. He didn't save those other things with, well, even those things with breath that aren't human. He hasn't saved those. Certainly hasn't saved any mountains or ponderosa pines or anything of that sort. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Saints, you cannot teach, preach the value of praise too much. You cannot praise the Lord Jesus enough. So while we might be listed last in Psalm 148, from the top down to the bottom, once man who is apart from the Lord, once one man accepts the Lord Jesus and that new life is put into him, all of a sudden he's brought to the top of the praise chain, isn't he? From top to bottom, back to the top. And that's where my title comes from. Because we are a people near to him. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And I have his name, saints, and you do too if you believe the Lord Jesus for your own. He has exalted the horn of his people, Jesus himself, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Soon enough, saints, we're already near to him, but soon enough we might be nearer than anything and anyone to him if we attain to that thing that he attained us for, that he laid hold of us for. We are created and given new life to glorify and praise the Lord. So I encourage you, saints, tonight, every night, praise the Lord. Carry out that function that you've been created perfectly for, and excel at that purpose in bringing praise and glory to that horn of our salvation. Praise the Lord, saints.